Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Again, Wednesday, ton going on today. Man, it's Letter of Intent Day. It is the Waste Management Open Pro-Am. There's press conferences going on up at the Super Bowl. We've had so many guests that I'm actually happy we have some room to breathe today. And we'll talk Super Bowl. We had Peter King yesterday. We're not getting any better than Peter. We've had Kurt Warner already, and there's some people we might have on. But I think Letter of Intent Day, it's fascinating through the years. Greg Biggins is going to be with us in about, 10, 12 minutes. It's got to be 20 years, 25 years maybe, that Greg and I on Letter of Intent Day always get together, as well as other times during the year. Greg is the national recruiting analyst for Scout.com and also for Fox Sports. He is the guy. And I want to get the latest from him on this Devon Cooper story, this wide receiver. So I'm not going to bore you by going through name after name after name. We have all the content up on our website that you can check out. There's videos of all these guys. Because Letter of Intent Day is a big deal to many, many of the high school and college fans. There's a local event going on over at Marley's. Jordy Hamm is out at that. Connor Murphy just announced he's going to USC. This is no surprise. Jared is out at the Waste Management Open following Larry Fitzgerald and Bruce Arians. He's going to be at U of A later today. Eric is going to be at NAU tonight for their recruiting announcements up in Flagstaff. I'm going to head over to Arizona Christian this afternoon along with Jordan Hamm, and then I'll head over to ASU with Jordy. And we have our television show tonight, so other than that, there's nothing going on, which is fine. I like it this way. Where do we start today? So I'll get over to some recruiting stuff in a minute. We said last week on this show that around the Super Bowl, you're going to hear a lot of race and race baiting, in my opinion. It's very easy for guys like us, especially when you have a whole week or 2 weeks in this case, to look at a football game. And around look at a football game, you want to talk about the personalities. You want to talk about who they're dating. You want to talk about all that stuff. And through the years, I found, like, you don't see us at Radio Row anymore. I don't believe that going to Radio Row is much of anything. I don't need Joe Montana there telling me why I need to buy this brand of tomato. And that if I don't talk about this brand of tomato or Gas X or whatever it is that he's pitching, I was listening on satellite this morning, and I forget who the player was I had on. He was pitching his Bloody Mary mix, former player. Of course he was. It makes perfect sense. I want to hear this guy work in his plugs for his Bloody Mary concoction and how you can get blasted on Super Bowl Sunday versus just having a normal 8 to 10 minute conversation about football. So I get it where these companies are just placing guys all over the place, and there's got to be some of that, but there's no redeeming quality. None. To go sit at Radio Row any longer when I have to talk about Turf Builder from Scott's. Or whatever it is that these guys are pitching. And they've got these handlers with them. And they're like, I don't know, they're freshly out of college. It's fine. It's their first gig. They're so excited to be at the Super Bowl. And they're like, so, Mr. Sesmat, this is so-and-so. Yeah, I got it. It's a Pro Bowl player. It's a Hall of Famer. And they're going to talk about their sleep apnea disorder. So, and it's pronounced, and I don't care. I just want to talk to them. So, it's become a waste of my time and I think of your time to go up there to get guys where a lot of the conversation has nothing to do with football. Nothing. And I said last week that what's going to happen is guys have got hours and hours and hours of shows to fill. And they can either put on the person who's going to talk about whatever product they're pitching, or they could pick out something other than the game itself. Trying to figure out if Peyton Manning is going to retire or not. And there's an interesting story around Peyton Manning I'll get to in a minute that impacts the Arizona Cardinals. I'll get to that in a second. Usually the topic, if there's one that they can latch onto, that we unfortunately can latch onto, it will involve race. Race is pretty simple to sit here. And it doesn't mean that there aren't times to have a good, honest debate day after day after day. I did shows during the LA riots. I did shows with OJ and the Bronco, done shows through the years around race. Magic had HIV. People wanted to paint that as something other than it was with him. So I sit here years later, and it was predictable, the tidal wave of Cam Newton and the media trying to tear down a young black man was going to come up. And that's what's gone on to a certain extent. Now, do I think that there are race problems in our nation? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've covered athletes long enough. Doesn't matter what nationality, what color their skin is, the origin. I've seen racism growing up in Southern California. I've seen racism here in Arizona. I would be naive to think that racism doesn't exist. But I also think that if you're going to get away from how will Denver stop Cam Newton and instead media tearing down a quarterback because of the color of his skin. Did I sit here the last 2 weeks before the Cardinal game, last week before the Cardinal game, and say, I don't like it when Cam Newton signals first down? Yes, I did. Is that tearing him down because of the color of his skin? No. He is unlike any other. There's nothing wrong with that. Do I look at Cam Newton and say, you know, here's a guy that got run out of one college, got over at Auburn, has had his way at Carolina. Is there something there around Cam Newton that just feels like it's not big on the guy? Maybe. Is it because I'm sitting here in Arizona and he beats the Cardinals? Maybe. 2 years in a row in the playoffs. I try to put all that stuff off to the side. I think it just comes down to he's really good. The only thing that annoys me is I don't care much for how he acts when he gets a meaningless first down. Well, there's no such thing as a meaningless first down. Guys, when it's the second quarter and you're on your own 19 and you get a yard to your 20 and you get up and you dance around, like that's just ridiculous. I love the fact that he gives away footballs. I love his youthful enthusiasm. The league needs more youthful, sports needs more youthful enthusiasm. We should not be tearing it down all the time. But I have every right to sit here and say I'm not big on how he acts after certain plays. That's all. So I'm starting to read more and hear more and see more about how it all has to do with people wanting to tear down a young man and they don't want to have him succeed. And you know what? There's probably some of that out there. I don't see that myself. I'm not around people that say, oh, I hope he does not do well because of the color of his skin. I don't get that from the people that I run with. And I run with colors. I don't see color. I just see people. I don't have people that tell me that. But there's always going to be somebody. When you're given one of these, which is a Lamborghini, and you're allowed to tweet out, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your upbringing is, you're going to say stuff. There's going to be stuff out there that's just flat wrong that I don't agree with at all. And I just want the game to get here. Now, to Peyton Manning. So Adam Schefter, and it's not often that there are guys that I'll point to and say, if Peter King writes it, I'm probably going to be all over it. 99.9% of the time, I'm not even going to scratch my head. He may be misled. That happens. Adam Schefter, same thing. But Adam tweeted this morning that the LA Rams, not St. Louis Rams, the LA Rams have had internal discussions about Peyton Manning if the Broncos release him. So look at it from this way. If the Broncos lose, is Peyton Manning the type of guy that's going to go out on a note of being a losing Super Bowl quarterback? We've had Brock Hewitt on this show many, 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 many times. And Eric, jump on in on this one because I don't want to misstate this. I don't think I am. Brock has told us that Peyton was not the easiest of teammates, correct?
Oh, no. No. Not the easiest of guys to get along with.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because he comes across as the friendly pitch man.
Of course he does.
But egos have egos, you know? That's how it works.
So the backup quarterback that was there in Indianapolis, and Brock's not somebody to throw sour grapes, and he's not the only person I've heard that from. I can't see him just up and saying, I'm done if he loses. If he wins, I can't see him saying right after the game, I'm done either. To me, he's very calculated. He's very good at his business. It's kind of like whenever Fitz decides that he's going to retire, Larry's not going to run up, stand at a podium, I don't believe, after the final game of whatever season and say, well, he's standing there in his nice suit and say, this is it, I'm done. I think it's going to be something where it is a major step forward, a major celebration away from the game and all of the game, and it's going to be a Wednesday midday thing.
It'll be like Kurt Warner's. Remember, Warner got beat up against the Saints and Bounty Gate and then took some time, a couple months, talked with his family.
Yeah.
And made the decision on like a Friday afternoon.
I would be stunned if Peyton Manning on Sunday off the field says, I'm out.
I would be too.
But Tracy Wolfson has that job. Here's the thing. If you're CBS, okay, you're going to have Phil Simms, you're going to have Jim Nantz. They're going to do the play-by-play and the color. When the game ends, their sideline reporters are Tracy Wolfson. I don't know if they're going to have a second. They have to have a second sideline reporter because here's the worst nightmare for CBS. And when you're watching the game, here's what it comes down to. If they win, Tracy Wolfson's going to be there all over Peyton Manning with confetti everywhere. She's got to tackle Peyton Manning. It doesn't matter who scores five touchdowns or if DeMarcus Ware has 10 sacks. It doesn't matter. Peyton Manning's got to be the person that you hear from. But if Carolina wins and Cam Newton is there, do you interview Cam Newton first and expect Peyton to stand there and to be second for the interview, sitting there with the confetti raining down and Carolina is champions?
I'd almost be certain they would have two sideline reporters.
Okay, and I would too. I would too. But if it's Steve Tasker, I know they used Steve there in the past, or whomever it is, it's got to be somebody who's friendly with Peyton Manning. That's the other thing about this. The work that goes on this week with the CBS crew, and CBS carries the AFC games, so they have seen Peyton Manning. And Jim Nantz, I'll see it on Twitter every week. People just get sick of how he fawns over Peyton Manning. I don't think he fawns. I think he's just doing his job, and he admires him. There's nothing wrong with that. But in those meetings, when they meet with Peyton this week, you know that Tracy Wolfson has got to be the key player in those meetings. She's got to tackle Peyton Manning. That's not going to be an easy deal. And if he is the winning quarterback. If he's the losing quarterback, then it's got to be somebody who stands there and doesn't let him run off. That's got to be just as difficult.
And you have to think, Brad, if Manning even plays, above average and the Broncos win, he has to be the game MVP, right?
You would think.
I know if it's between Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas or fill in the blank wide receiver or DeMarcus Ware, chances are they're probably going to give it
Von
to Peyton.
Von Miller. No, you're right. You're right. I think the fact that Peyton has had an extra week of rest is big for him. I think it's huge that he's had a bye week.
I don't think this is going to be a close game, but that's just one man's
opinion. Money on it? We having Jimmy on tomorrow?
I don't know if I'm going to put money on it. I just have a feeling that Carolina is going to treat the Broncos much like Seattle treated the Broncos in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
See, I think I agree with you. I think Carolina's defense is just going to pound on
Peyton. I do too.
I think it's not going to be pretty. I want to talk about Johnny Manziel in a little bit, and you're going to roll your eyes on this one, but I'm going to tie Robert Sarver, Jerry Jones, and Johnny Manziel all together. I can do that. I can, in my mind. And it's not even that hard. Ken Stabler, who Eric did a story on their family, what was that, 2 months ago out of Chaparral High School? Comes out that he had CTE. And you just shake your head. This concussion thing that people just want to pretend it's not there in the room. And now Ken Stabler had it. And they've examined the brain. And that's right here in our own backyard. But up next, National Letter of Intent Day. We're going to switch gears. Scout.com, National Recruiting Analyst, good friend of the show through the years, Greg Biggins. The latest on ASU, U of A chasing the same player. How's that going to work out? And much, much more. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
And now in this National Letter of Intent Day, it is one of the voices that I've talked to for, what do you think, Greg, 25 years, probably? Greg Biggins, National Recruiting Analyst, Fox Sports, Scout.com. I shouldn't say 25 years. That's making you sound like an old man. I'm going to throw dirt on you. But it's been a long time, right?
It has been. I was going to say, don't age me that much. But I bet it's been probably closer to 20. But always good talking to you this time of year.
The view from your perch on Arizona State and Arizona, well, not from a Pac-12 standpoint, let's just start first with what the Wildcats have done with Rich Rod this year.
Okay. They're closing pretty good right now. They're still waiting on Chacho Yiloa, who's a big-time safety that I really like a lot out of Corona Centennial High School. I expect them to land him at some point later today. And then I think the cornerstone, that there's two guys that, for me, are a real difference maker. That's linebacker Jake Colacion from La Habra, North County. For me, this is a guy you plug in and play right away. He kind of missed some time this year with an injury, but he's everything you want in an inside-outside linebacker. He's got the athleticism to play outside. He's got the toughness, the spark to play inside. So so instinctual. And then J.J. Taylor, also from Crotocentennial, teammates of Chachi Loa. He's only about 5'7", maybe 5'8", in cleats, but this guy can absolutely go. Unbelievable quickness, burst, change of direction, hands. He's going to remind a lot of people, and I hate throwing out comparisons because they're not usually accurate, but you're going to see a lot of Darren Sproles with this guy. He's a lot tougher and more physical than I think people give him credit for. And then obviously both those two schools, ASU and Arizona, are still waiting to hear from Devon Cooper from Darbon. Coop's a longtime Arizona commitment, took a visit to ASU this past weekend. I talked to one of his coaches last night, and as of last night, they still had no idea what he was going to do.
Do you have a date, a time today that Cooper's going to announce yet, Greg? I know this stuff's all fluid.
I think they're going to have a ceremony at 1:30 our time, which I believe is 2:30 your time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, at that time we'll have an idea. It might leak out earlier. They seem to always do. But, that's big. I mean, this is a guy who I think both SC and UCLA missed out on in their own backyard. So, and speaking of UA, I got to throw out some love for Khalil Tate also. Maybe the most dynamic athlete in California this past year, was a finalist for State Player of the Year. Coming in as a quarterback, that's kind of intriguing for me because he's not really, your pure pocket passer. He's more of a dual threat guy. I think he's more dangerous when he escapes the pocket and takes off. He runs like a running back with the speed of a receiver. He's got a super strong arm, but just in terms of his ability to kind of, learn the offense and go through progressions, he's going to need some time to do that. But if you can figure it out, and Rich Rod's probably the one coach that could bring that out of him, you got a special talent there in Khalil Tate out at Sarah High School, USC, Notre Dame. Everybody offered this guy as an athlete. Arizona was the one school that said, hey, we'll take you as a quarterback, and that's why he's going there.
Greg Biggins, national recruiting analyst, Fox Sports, scout.com. Today, the Super Bowl of recruiting. Appreciate Greg giving us a few minutes. Let's go back on Cooper for a minute. So Arizona State, U of A, it's down to those two. What gives the Sun Devil fans hope that he will flip away from U of A? Who's in recruiting him? Give me a little bit more on this story, this player.
I think why, if you're a Sun Devil fan, you're a little bit confident is because Arizona came in on Thursday, Coach Dews, and obviously most schools this time of year do not want their committed guys to take visits anywhere. His own staff at Narbonne told me, I think he's going to cancel an ASU trip. I think he's pretty solid. I think he's going to lock it down. He's going to be all Arizona. I mean, he's been committed there since the summer. Yet the next day, he still took that visit to ASU this past weekend. I don't think you take a visit to a school this late in the process unless you're seriously considering making a flip. And I do know he loved that trip, and he came home and said, man, that trip gave me a lot to think about. So I think if you're Arizona, you're probably a little bit nervous. You would love for him to cancel that trip. And if you're ASU, you got to be feeling confident that he actually, went ahead and didn't even tell his coaches that he was going on the trip. They found out through U of A. Cooper did tell the U of A coaches he was taking the visit, but his Narbonne coaches didn't know. So it kind of took them a little bit by surprise. So I think if you're a Sun Devil fan, you might have a little bit of confidence in getting Cooper today.
How good of a player is he, Greg?
I think he's good. I think he's real good. I mean, he's dynamic. He's a guy you put in space, a little undersized, maybe 5'9", 5'8", 5', in that 5'10 range, slot receiver. But real good hands, explosive, a guy you can kind of just give a little hitch to, and you can make two or three guys miss and go the distance. I mean, he is a game-breaking type player. Like I said, both SC and UCLA talked about playing corner for him, but he's an offensive guy. He really wants to stay on the offensive side of the ball. So that's how Arizona was able to really seal the deal. But this is a guy, I think he can play for anybody in the Pac-12.
What do you make out of Arizona State's class today?
So, obviously, a headliner. You always want to have your headliner be your quarterback. I'm a big Dylan Sterling Cole fan. I had a chance to watch him all week in practice when they came out. He came out here for the Semper Fi All-American Bowl, and I really like him a lot. Real smooth, poised kid, strong downfield arm. Everybody's got a strong arm, but I think what made this guy kind of special is just he's under pressure. Just watching how he doesn't seem to get rattled. He has all the physical tools. He can run around if you want him to. But he looks just so comfortable. Look, again, in practice, learning a new offense, had no problems picking up an offense. Again, progressions going from number two to number three guy, no problem. Now he's a big kid, all of 6'3". So I like Sterling Cole a lot. And then obviously you had the two big in-state kids. N'Keal Harry, this was the guy everybody said at the Under Armour All-American game was the number one receiver there. Mm-hmm. There's some serious talent out there at the UA game, a bunch of the kids from the South. And obviously they can play some serious football in the South. So N'Keal Harry, 6'3", 6'4", guy with body control and hands and a strong body. Then you got Chase Lucas, just a kind of an athlete. Can play a little bit of running back, some receiver. I think, for me, I like him as a corner. That's where he was at the Army game. And, again, he raised a lot of eyebrows with how good he was at the Army game practices, locking people up at corner. So you keep those two guys in state. And, you know, obviously you would have loved to have kept Byron Murphy in state as well. But, you know, it was good to see, you know, that Harry and Lucas, those two guys stay in state. And I think they're both, you know, immediate impact guys.
Before I let you go, nationally, what is it, the usual suspects? This is Alabama's there, Ohio State's there. Give the fans an idea nationally, top three, top four classes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a broken record. The rich get richer. Alabama, you know, I think you're seeing Michigan. I don't remember what Michigan was last year, but this year Michigan is way up there. They're making a late run. They got a chance to steal the two kids from De La Salle up in Concord, Northern California. Devin Asiasi, the tight end, Boss Tagaloa, the D tackle. They're closing really well. I would imagine the top five for sure will have at least three of these schools, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. You can probably throw LSU in there too. So those four spots look to be pretty locked up. And after that, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, kind of keeping it out west, you know, Stanford and UCLA are both having really good years. I think they're both hovering around that top 10 range. This is probably Stanford's best class they've had in a long time. They don't usually have these higher-ranking classes because they can't get most of these top guys into school, but they stole a kid from Penn State today, a four-star safety. They took a kid from Texas earlier this week. They stole a kid from Michigan earlier as well. I mean, they're going all over the country and just ripping guys off. I love it. I've always kind of followed Stanford and been a fan of them. And then, you know, UCLA, you know, they have a chance to really close well today. Mieke Wars is probably the top guy uncommitted. He's the number one linebacker in the country. I think he's down to Alabama and UCLA. And if they can lock him up, I think UCLA has a chance with a potential top five class.
Wow, good stuff there. I'll let you go. Thanks for the time, as always, on short notice, Greg.
Always. Good to talk to you.
Stay well. Greg Biggins, National Recruiting Analyst, Fox Sports, Scout.com. Back in the day, Greg and I, it was one of those deals where he would call me off the air, and we would have, like, here's what's going on with this guy, and we'd make lists on just pieces of paper. And, like, I'd be traveling to do a game, and I'd have an extra hour in an airport, and I'd have Utah, and I'd have Arizona, and I'd have Arizona State, and you'd write them out. And then we started getting these faxes, like this one faxes. I'm going to really date myself here. We get faxes, and it'd be reams of names, sizes, who they're visiting, where they're visiting, if they committed. And that was back in the day of a magazine called Super Prep. You remember Super Prep? Yeah, Super Prep. But it's come a long ways. It's over the top in some regard. I'll talk to parents that truly believe their kid is going to play at a national level, and he can't tie his shoes. He can't throw from here to there. He can't play. But in this day and age of web and please look at my kid, it's great. It's just sometimes not realistic. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We are on at 6 at 10:30, 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. We're on all over the place. We're on all sorts of platforms. That's what we're all about. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us. So the Suns won last night. I bring this up because it was the debut of a new head coach for the Suns.
They did?
Yeah, Earl Watson. No, they didn't win.
Oh, okay. You said they did win.
They won, and let me finish. They won last night because Markieff played well. I'm being smart aleck here.
I gotcha. And Archie Goodwin played well, too.
They won because they lost. I'm being smart aleck here.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Yep.
So every time that they lose, they win. Follow me? Because, look, if you want them to actually win, then they lose. When I say from now on the Suns lost last night, that means they won a game.
The sad part is, Brad,
yes,
as horrible as the season's gone,
yes,
they're still, like, sitting fifth right now. There's still four or five teams worse than the Suns, believe it or not. Lakers, Timberwolves.
Is that amateur hour on my part?
No.
Is that immature on my part?
No, because this is like extended exhibition basketball right now.
Because you were
these games don't count.
Kind of intimating that I was grumpy this morning before.
Oh, you were grumpy.
You weren't intimating. You just flat out I was.
Sure. Yeah.
I think
we have a pretty transparent, you know, relationship.
I think I'm in a fine place.
Okay.
You don't agree?
No, you see my warts, and I can see yours too.
I don't have warts. You don't have warts. I don't have hair. That's
now you're
problem.
Just starting an argument for no reason. But you're not grumpy today, right?
I don't think I was grumpy. I think I was just pointing out some things that I was disappointed in. It happens.
Well, it's a startup, you know?
Well, not a startup anymore. We're 4
oh,
years
Oh, that's
this.
Right. We're not
that's
a startup.
Right. That's right.
When do you reach like the, are we like in the master's program of non-startups?
Right, right,
we've
right.
graduated from our startup degree. Is that how that works? We're going for our MBA in small business?
We're on the 10-year plan, right? At a community college.
It's all right. Aaron Rodgers went to a community college. There's nothing wrong with that.
I know. So they won last night because they lost. And I think I'm going to take that approach from here forward. Another good win by the Suns when they fall by 30. And some people over there won't like it because they don't have any sense of humor. But I think that if they were to take a big step back and say, what's he talking about? We won last night. We lost. No, that's what we want you to do. We want you to not win. But I had a very interesting conversation yesterday with a person of influence here in the Valley about what's going on with Robert Sarver. And this person has seen me frustrated and heard me frustrated. And I respect this person immensely. They've been in the Valley a long time and they don't want me to use their name. So I'm not going to. This person mentors me a little bit. And this person said to me, you know, you're missing the point here on the Suns. Robert Sarver has made lots of people very happy. Think of if you were the one, Brad, that had invested in the Suns and had an ownership stake in the Phoenix Suns, of how you would be feeling right about now. And of course, I said, well, I'm so freaking competitive, I would just be going nuts. He said, yeah, well, take a step back, chill out, and look at what he's done for these people. He bought something for $400 million. It's worth $1 billion. If you were an investor with Robert Sarver and you were sitting in a boardroom with Robert Sarver, you would be kissing his feet and lauding him as the greatest owner around. This person went on to tell me the people that should be unhappy with Robert Sarver, obviously, are the fans and the advertisers. But you're missing the point on the business acumen of Robert Sarver. He's found a business where he can put out a product that's not good and still almost quadruple his number. And it's only going to go up, by the way. It's not like the Suns next year are going to decrease in value. This person's associated with sports. And so he said, you know, they're going to be $2 billion before you know it. Because there'll be teams that will overpay in their current situations. And so I had to take a big step back because most of you, I'm sure all of you watching right now, just want me to every day whine, bitch, moan, hammer away, bring the sledgehammer, not the fly swatter, any term that I've used through the years about how bad the team is on the court. But this person said I should actually be admiring Robert. And I think that that is a problem. You know, Donald Sterling was a slumlord and a bad guy. Robert's neither one of those, in my opinion, in my dealings with him and talking with him. And I don't think he goes to bed at night saying, boy, it's great, I have a team that stinks. It's kind of like this. Jerry Jones makes big money, huge money, and the team always loses. If you're a Cowboy fan, you know, it's great when the Cowboys win for the NFL and for our country, I think. But the team stinks every year. The team brings guys like Greg Hardy in who can't play, shouldn't play, all sorts of character issues. The team is the one that will probably bring Johnny Manziel in. Cowboys are probably going to bring Johnny Manziel in. I saw where Brian Billick said that Johnny Manziel shouldn't even be in the NFL, shouldn't even be in the league. And I don't agree with that. I think guys like, you know, Johnny Manziel has an issue. He has a problem. He has a vice. He has something that I've never had to deal with, and that's alcohol, it appears. He's been in rehab already. So I don't know what it's like to put on a wig and go from Ohio to Vegas to go gamble and get away from it all. To me, that screams of his inner circle saying, go act out as much as you can act out as much as possible so you can get the heck out of here and go be Johnny, because Johnny, you can play. They just don't know what they're doing with you. That happens all the time. It's kind of like watching Markieff Morris last night. Yeah, I did find myself watching Keefe have his best game of the season. Do I think it's a coincidence that he played hard for the first time in a long, 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 long time the day after Jeff Hornacek is fired? I don't think it is. Do I think it's just that Toronto guarded him a certain way, so he went out and played with passion and played aggressive? I don't think it is. He's just one of these guys that wants to say, well, yeah, now that he's gone, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to really embrace Earl Watson. No offense to Earl Watson. If you're not rooting for Earl Watson or any of these guys that take over an interim situation, it's great. He's been given his chance. He's been given his dream. He's pursuing his dream. So, you know, tying Robert in, guys like Dick Heckman and Sam Garvin are names you don't know very much. But if you look at the Suns and their ownership structure through the years, you're probably going to see those names associated with this team. I don't know how much money they put into it. But for Robert putting in $405 million, it's worth a billion. If you're just a pure businessman, guys, if you're out there slugging it away today, you should be the one saying, I shouldn't have bought Krispy Kreme stock. I should have found a way to invest in the Phoenix Suns and Robert Sarver. Do you agree with this, E, or am I seeing this backwards?
No, I think you're dead on. And I think it's pretty incredible, like you said. I mean, the team has stunk. They haven't made the playoffs in, what, 7 of the last 8 seasons? Yet somehow the value of the team is continuing to escalate.
If you were approached by the Suns today to say, we would like Eric Sorensen to invest in the team, dollar, $100, $1,000, $10,000, $1 million, you would have to take a look and say, you know what? I think I'm going to buy into that because I don't see that stock dipping anytime soon.
It's sort of like Coca-Cola. Is Coca-Cola stock ever really going to take a huge plummet? Probably
and it's not good for you.
No,
right?
It's not.
McDonald's.
Right. Right, same deal.
I saw where Apple had their first time they weren't on top because their shipment of iPhone sales went down. And, of course, they're going to freak out and panic all over the place because of that. You know, Jerry Jones, it's the same sort of deal. If somebody came to you today and said, hey, Eric, we want you to invest in the Cowboys ownership group. Of course you would, right? Because it's the brand of the cow. It doesn't matter if you peel the onion back and you see that it's just lousy. But they're part of a bigger group that has figured out how to get over on fans. I feel bad for the sponsors in this whole deal because, look, fans have a choice. Sponsors have a choice, but if they've signed a deal, like I heard yesterday from somebody with one of the sponsors said, yeah, we got a letter from the Suns telling us to hang in there. We're going to figure it out. We're going to just, that's where they are right now. It's January or February, and they're reaching out to their people saying, please don't bail on us. Please don't do it.
And with the Cowboys, they are America's team, and they were branded that. Therefore, I mean,
but
like you said,
they could bring in all these misfits and all these guys, right? And guys that either can't play or are bad guys.
Doesn't matter. Nope.
Doesn't matter.
Any press is good press when it comes to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
But, you know, and I think in Robert's case, any press is good press.
I agree.
He doesn't.
Because right now there's not a lot of press.
There's not a lot of press. No, there's not, because people have run out of things to write about. But I think on the business end, and I'm thinking of just penning this and maybe trying to find some of these owners, these guys that are under Robert, and just say, you know, how's your investment working out? Because it has to be working out brilliantly for them. Have you guys ever had an investment where the product that you put your money into was just awful and you've doubled it? You've tripled it if you think about it. And the product stinks. How do you feel about that? Or do you sit in the boardroom and you just kind of laugh? You're cashing your checks because they're not going away anytime soon. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. More after this timeout. So with today being National Letter of Intent Day, the staff, we're all out doing stuff. And there'll be content throughout the day on sports360az.com. There's lots of websites you can go to. We're Whole Foods and Walmart. No, we're not. We're Whole Foods and Sprouts in a world of Walmart. That's what we aspire to be on a daily basis. It's a little different, a little bit off the center, and there's lots of places you can go. We have our space, too. And Eric's going to go to NAU tonight. NAU sent me a helmet for our set for the TV show. They were the last ones to get in. I'm not taking shots at them. It's nice that we are represented by... Can we take that shot, Jared Nielsen? I know we don't have lights over there right now, but can you just put a dark shot? I think it's camera 3. If you just flip it around, you can't do it. You got to turn it on. Yeah. We have this, we've added a set for the TV show along with this set. We have like two sets here. And so the people at Skyview, you see Skyview on the mic flag, they're terrific. And we have enjoy our partnership with them very much. So they said, what do you think about this room? I said, I'd kind of like to see a set over here. And so they put something together, and then I said, well, we should get some helmets. So in getting the helmets is pretty easy. We have the helmets from the college teams, and we have the helmets from U of A, ASU, NAU, ACU. The Rattlers were nice enough to send over a helmet as well because, you know, arena football's there. There's our little darkened set right now, but you can see it well enough. So that set, and you see the Cardinals helmet there too, and we'll move them around. So I put a little picture up yesterday on social media, and of course I get these nitwit. Why is it the ASU fans are so incredibly jealous of U of A? That's all it is. If I put something up about U of A towards ASU, I don't get snark or I don't get comments that I have to delete because people are dropping F-bombs. I don't get the kitty cat this. I mean, I just, when it's ASU and they get all bent out of shape, like, why is U of A, why is that red helmet in the shot and our helmet isn't? It's not like I sit there and do it intentionally, guys. Just breathe a little bit, you know? Just breathe a little bit. But I think, Eric, we should try to get high school helmets, too, at some point. Don't you? I think that's – I don't know where we're going
to
put them.
No? Maybe.
No?
You're really opening Pandora's box, though. I mean, we would have enough high school helmets to fill up that entire room. Because if you get a Saguaro helmet, you're going to have to get a Hamilton helmet. Then you're going to have to get a Corona del Sol helmet. And then you're going to have to get a Centennial.
Helmets, you know?
Well, that's not true.
What do you mean?
The five I just named are like the four or five of the most successful programs.
You know what
in the
we
state.
Could do is we could get helmets just from like the rivalries. Like let's say we only got a Chaparral helmet and not a Saguaro helmet. That'd go over really well. If we got a Hamilton helmet, not a Chandler helmet, that'd go over really well. St. Mary's is like green and white. If we got like a green and white helmet, not a Brophy helmet, that would not sit well with Brophy. But I would want like the offbeat school. Give me a school like, I don't know, Mingus is not offbeat, or Sholo or something. Something along those lines. But regardless, and look, we're not just going to have it. That's for our football show. You know, I'm working on a couple other TV show projects right now that have nothing. One of them has nothing at all to do with sports. Nothing. But it's just something that I'm kicking around. I've got another show I've been approached on. It's a baseball thing, and I'll just leave it at that. And I'm kicking that around. Basketball would be fun. It would be fun, but why would I? And I knew this going in when we started doing the football show, the TV show, that if we did a basketball TV show, how can I do that and look in the camera and not say something about the Suns not being any good? Because you could see it coming. Jared was here yesterday for you, and I don't think I'm ever going to have him on headset again because all he wanted to do was blab about how great the Suns are from back when he was a kid. I got it. Enough. He was just wearing – it wore me out yesterday. The A segment just trudged along. But if I did a basketball show, if we did a basketball – not me. Like I think there's room for a cooking show. I do. I think there's a cooking show concept that I've kicked around a little bit. I got to get to that point. And cooking and sports, food and sports go hand in hand. Guys, the Food Channel this week, all they're doing, and I'm not a good cook, but all they're doing is stuff around Super Bowl. That's what they're doing, tailgating and all that stuff. And we see it becoming a big industry. Fans care about that stuff. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. The Coyotes were awful last night. I watched some of them against the LA Kings, just got absolutely destroyed. Second half of the season underway. We are hoping that there is some sort of postseason. We know there's not going to be any postseason for the NBA team. We know there's going to be a postseason for U of A and ASU in basketball in March. You know, I think ASU will at least make the NIT with Bobby Hurley, and they're interesting to me. U of A, I don't think they're that good this year yet. Give them a few more weeks to try to figure it out. Don't know if they can shoot the ball consistently enough. But the hockey team is one that I believe that there is something there this season. It may not be, it may be a one and done, but at least get back to that spot. So looking forward to that. All right. Our television show is tonight. You can check it out on Fox Sports Arizona. We'll have that at 6, at 10:30, 1 a.m., 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Of course, we have all sorts of recruiting news during the day. A busy day today. We're going to be at the Waste Management Open. We're going to be at U of A, ASU, ACU, and even NAU tonight. Eric's going to make the trek up the hill for their letter of intent day. Thanks for being with us.